Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Know his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Can you appreciate the choir again? Beyond the performance, I hope we paid attention to those words. The lyrics, very important, very important. Forever God, your glory, I will run after. The Bible speaks about those who seek after immortality. Those who seek for glory. What are you seeking for? What is the OS of your life? If I were to write Bible today, we'll be talking about the OS of your life. What is the program running your life? Many of us are in church for different reasons. And it's not strange because many people follow Jesus for different reasons. But that's not what I'm going into today. But for whatever it is, recalibrate the reason why you are following Jesus. And I'm trusting the Lord that the Lord will honor you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to just say good morning to the whole church. And to all the pastors in the house and our deacons and our leaders. I say good morning to you. I hope the rain did not disturb. Of course, that's why you're here. Because the rain didn't disturb you. I want to acknowledge and appreciate those of you who came without cars. You had no cars, but you still came. Somebody called me this morning and asked whether there's could still go to be service. And I said, what kind of stupid question is that? Praise God. If your service is it's only when there's no rain, you have to go and do. You have to go and see Pastor Joshua. It was a 7-day prayer. Your own is more than 7 days. Praise God. Now the person who asked me this question will get to hear what I said. And I'm saying it deliberately. Because I'm provoking a fight. Hallelujah. That question ought not to have been asked me. You know, they asked me that question. Would that be service because of rain? I'm still angry. Let it be said that you came to church and you were soaking wet. Amen. And they will recall in heaven that for the love of God you came to church. It will be there as your own star. Hallelujah. So that when you are canceling somebody, they say, you see this church, God say, have you come to church in the rain before? Amen. Has pastor passed you and pour water on your body and you still come to church? Praise God. Some of you, if I pass you and I splash water on you, you won't come back to church again. You know yourself, so. Look at your neighbor. Are you the one pastor is talking to? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let us be encouraged. Let us be encouraged. This thing is more than pleasure. We are preparing ourselves for challenges ahead so that you don't just run foul. The important thing about PGT is that we are interested in finishing strong. Not just finish, but finish strong. And I trust God that God will help us in Jesus' name. And before I preach, I want to acknowledge the presence of the servant of the Lord, Evangelist Toba Samuel. I think you're in the house. Please, hallelujah. I appreciate you. You have appreciated. Thank you, sir, for coming. God bless you. Hallelujah. Can we share a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this morning. For every soul present and those who will be joining us online, we give glory and honor to your name in the name of Jesus. I'm asking of you, Father, that this day you will grant us entrance and access into your mind. That, Lord, you will strengthen us and enable us to walk uprightly and accurately in the way of righteousness in the name of Jesus. Grant me the utterance that is needed. Anoint the words, O Lord.
I may speak like the pen of the writer in the name of Jesus. Thank you once again, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. This morning, I'm hoping I won't be speaking too long, but I don't trust myself right now. Hallelujah. I want to speak to us about fear. Fear. You know what they call fear? Fear means fear. I don't know anyone, you know, I don't know. But there are some very, very few people that God has created that I've come across that they don't have fear. They're not afraid. There are very few. Amen. And blessed are thou if you are not a fearful person. But for the rest of us that are mortals, I do speak, hallelujah. I'm speaking to mortals, not to those supernatural mortals. You don't understand them, hallelujah. Who has never been afraid before in his or her life? You've got to a place in life and people are afraid and you're saying, what is the matter? What's on top of me? Have you been there before? No, I've not been there. Though we can do buffets, just do buffets. I'm a man. No, men are not supposed to cry. You know, yeah. But when you see cry, you will cry. Go do you any. When you see cry, you will cry it. Praise God. So it is with fear. I think just part of our constitution that somehow we should be afraid. But going through scriptures, I found out that there is a provision in God that those who are fearful will not make heaven. Do you understand? It's part of our constitution that naturally we'll be afraid. I mean, you're afraid of something that is beyond you. I don't understand the consequences of that. The Bible told us of Adam that after he ate the fruit, his eyes opened. They noticed they were naked and they went to sow fig leaves for themselves. And when they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden, they ran. And when God asked him, Adam, where are you? Adam said, I ran and I hid. And God said, why did you run? He said, because I was afraid. Why should you be afraid? Because you've done what is wrong. Hallelujah. Now, if that is the case, now, it was not that God did not know that Adam had eaten the fruit. God knew, but God wanted him to own up. Like the angel asked Jacob when he wrestled with the angel and he said, bless me or I won't let you go. And the angel asked his name, what is your name? As if the angel didn't know his name. It was for him to own up. My name is Jacob. I am the supplanter. That is who I am. The beginning of any good relationship with God, that you must own up that you were born a sinner. If you don't own up, there is no hope for salvation. You must acknowledge, I am a sinner. My name is Zacchaeus, the tax collector. The cheater. You have to own up. Because if you don't own up, you can't have mercy. Amen. So Adam said, I was afraid. And since then, we have seen men walk in fear. Some are justified, some are not justified. I'm talking about Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. We don't have this to watch, but I'll appreciate it that you have your Bibles. And so let's go into it together. Revelation 21, verse 8. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. This is what he says. He said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. Whether you're a big liar or a small liar. That's why it's very, very important that if you're going to politics, you should be careful. Because one of the conditions of being a successful politician is that you must know how to lie. If you're going to be successful. Praise God. So I said to a politician, I said, he sometimes wonder how people can believe them. But he said that he was a liar. They will lie and you will believe it. So Some people say that Nigerians are very gullible. It's not only Nigerians. Even Americans, I find them, they're also gullible. The whole world is gullible. Because they love lies. So you can be a liar and still love a liar. As far as God is concerned, all of you are liars. QED. But my interest this morning is the fearful. What's wrong when you are afraid? Something just jumps on you and you just, oh, you're afraid. Why is that so? Why will God put the fearful with the sorcerers? You know, as far as we are concerned, an herbalist, a sorcerer, a witch, all of them should be in hell, right? I mean, it's good for them to go to hell. But you that you are fearful, have you forgotten that you also are listed along that? You are put in the same list. And that's, we need to pay attention. Why is this so? Why should it be so? And the Bible says the fearful and the unbelieving, and the abominable and the murderers and warmongers, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go to the story of a man called Saul. Remember Saul? Hallelujah. What was the motivating factor or drive that destroyed Saul? That's what I want us to see. Why it was the fearful. Are you with me? Like we said, it's a natural human response to something you don't know. You are not sure how it will play out. You don't know what you are confronting. Naturally, you respond with fear. But that is not the kind of people God is going to send down to hell. Are you with me, church? That's not what he was saying. You have to understand what he was trying to say. So we met this man Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. And Samuel came to Saul after, you know, he had made a sacrifice. Why will you make the sacrifice? Samuel specifically told him that I will come in 7 days. Wait for me for 7 days. On the seventh day, he had not yet seen Samuel. He now moved to make the sacrifice. And when he finished, Samuel appeared. Are you with me, church? And Samuel asked him, Saul, why did you do this foolish thing? And here was his response. And Saul said unto Samuel, 1 Samuel 15, 24, I have sinned. Hallelujah. I have really, really sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Why did you do so? Because I feared the people. And I obeyed their voice. I fear the people. I fear the people. It was the people that made me do it. That has been the recurring story of Saul throughout his life. He has always done things because he wanted to please men. And so whatever the opinions of men are, he will do it. Do you see where democracy is taking us to? Majority has their say. The minority have their say and the majority have their way. Praise the Lord. So when majority said to him, Saul, we are leaving, we are going. He had to make the sacrifice. The second time, the people said, look at sheep, let us take them, let us. But they said, Samuel said we should kill all of them. We can't kill all of them. Let us go and sacrifice to God. And he told Samuel, it was the people that said we should carry it. The people. Some of you are here, you love the opinions of many people. Whatever they say is what you will do. You are setting yourself up for destruction. And you have to look at that aspect of your life. It was the people, and I obeyed their voice. Now, the Bible told us that when God appears to a man, the first thing that God will tell the man is, fear not. Even though God says fear not, God still expects you to be afraid. I don't know if you understand that Yoruba behavior. Do you know Yoruba man? He said, come and eat. His heart is not there. If you make a mistake, you carry your leg and go to the table and wash your hand. Yeah, because you won't come back to that house again, I can assure you. They will unleash all the dogs to make sure that you don't enter. It's just politics, Yoruba politics. I tell you that Yorubas are intrinsically Yoruba people. Only God can save the soul of Yoruba man. It's not straightforward. That ingbati spirit. Now, the Bible says that Abraham was a man who feared the Lord. That was one of the commendations that God gave of him. That when he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he stopped and said, will I not tell Abraham what I want to do? Seeing that he fears me and that he will train his children after him to fear me. So in other words, the way this thing is designed, God designed that man will only have one thing to fear. And that is him. If you begin to fear any other thing, you can be sure that fear will make you do things that will go against God. Do you hear what I'm saying? And anytime you go against God because of that fear, you are just digging your own pit. So that book of Revelation, the reason why the fearful were listed there was that out of their fear, they kept doing things that made them go against God. It doesn't matter whether they were born again or they were not born again. They didn't pay attention to certain things. And so that became an issue in their lives. Now, there is this person that I love very much. Psalm 21, 1 to 3. Psalm 21 was the psalm that David penned down. And this is supposed to be the attitude of many believers. Hear what he said here. Are you there? Psalm 27 from verses 1 to 3. The king shall joy in thy... The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I what? Fear. That's the psalmist asking the question. His focus was on the Lord. His focus was on God. What is it about God that was giving him that encouragement, that strength as he was going through life? He said, the Lord is my light, is my salvation. For that reason, whom shall I fear? He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 2. Though an host should encamp against me, which one are you giving me? You are giving me problems here. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Has an host ever encamped against you before? Is it to read all this and say, what's the big deal? If an host will encamp against you, you should be afraid, though. Ask, who was this king in Israel? There are three nations came against him. The Bible said, and he feared. And he ran into the temple and cried, said, God! Or you have a sudden attack, or something just came out of the blues and you are perplexed. What is your response? Or what is your default response? What will it be? Will you shout to the Ayadugo? Ayadugo, Egbamio. You know that thing that you normally hear in town. Ah, Lord, they have, please, Ayadugo, come and help me out. Or people step aside. Ah, it is bad for my enemy. You know, that kind of funny things that happen. Because they have not worked on their minds. They've not worked on their hearts. They are fearful. The psalmist said, though an host will encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Why? Because he has taken time to deal with those issues before the time of attack came. Said, though what should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Verse 4, let's go read 4. One thing have I desired of God, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. There was something that God told somebody. He said, in the midst of your trouble, don't look at the trouble, look at me. Most of the time, we shift our gaze from the Lord and we shift and focus on the situation. Very, very natural. But you've got to learn to train yourself not to look at the situation and how enormous or how big it is. Every man that has ever been praised in the Bible, that was what they learned to do. They learned to take their eyes off and focus on the Lord. Even when the enemy was coming as if he was going to swallow them, they kept their eyes on the Lord. That was how I believe that they wrote that story of Peter in the Bible. When Peter jumped off the boat, landed on the water, and began to walk towards Jesus Christ. He began to walk towards Jesus Christ. And the Bible told us that while he was looking at Jesus, he did not sink. But the Bible says immediately. Everybody say immediately. He took his gaze off Jesus and began to see the waves. Now, Peter was a fisherman. Peter can swim. Praise God. But Peter knows what a billowing wave does to a man. If that kind of wave, you enter it, by reason of the, I don't know this something this is. Those who have many know about swimming, eh? You have an idea, eh? You have no idea. You have not swam in the ocean before. The tides. It's even worse than tide. It's a gravitational, it's a pull. That thing pulls men down. Takwa Bay. People, if you go to Lekki Beach to go and swim, very beautiful water. It looks very, it's very, very attractive. But what people do not know that is not a lagoon. That is an ocean. And the continental shelf is very short. Where you swim some few feet, the thing is going down. So while they are still swimming and they cross it over the continental shelf, the pool. That's why we have lost so many young people, because they don't know what they put themselves into. So it's not easy to swim in such waters. Praise God. And so Peter found that to be true. That what am I doing? What am I mad? Or water? Is it all this? What did I do? And the Bible began to sink. You have to learn to train yourself. It's a training. Praise God. And it starts with the small, small fears that come your way. Small, small fear. Small, small fear. Small, small fear. If you don't know, you don't learn to use those small, small fears to train yourself, the day of enemy encamping against you, you will not be able to stand. Am I communicating? Saul did not train himself to trust the Lord. He didn't train himself. And so when the test came, Saul fell flat. It's always been like that. Fear is dangerous. Fear is destructive. Fear will make you do things you should not do. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him. You want to have angelic protection, fear the Lord. Just fear the Lord. It's a guarantee. That promise is true. I'm talking about, that is in Psalm 34 verse 7. Praise the Lord. Now, when Jesus began to talk to us, Luke chapter 12 verse 5. I'm trying to make this a very short thing. Luke 12 verse 5. It says, "But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. I will warn you and warn you who you should be afraid of." You and I, we have no reason being afraid of anything. Whether the economy, for those of us who are very good at anticipating things, we are very good at predicting things, we are very good at looking in the future, and you are able to say, well, this the way these things are going, this is how it's going to play out. Yeah, that thing can affect you if you are not careful. It can affect you negatively. The Bible says the heart of men will fill them by reason of what is coming. You see something is coming, like you know that there's going to be an economic crash tomorrow. And when you look at the whole everything, there's no way to escape. Praise God. About 3 years I was in the UK, and I was going through YouTube. Then I came across a particular something, like breaking news. I didn't have access to watching television. I was just breaking news. Russia invades Europe. Ah! I read that and I said, ah! Okay, what do I mean be? Ah! Oh, get to me. One of the reasons why I'm not going to America, I said, look, when the Antichrist comes, all of you American and Europe, he's going to meet you. I thank God for people like Buhari. Sometimes I thank God for them. You see, because of the way our country is structured, it will be difficult for Antichrist to have a problem with me. Worst case, I will go to my town there in Nigeria, I go and sit down there and be farming. I don't need to take the mark of the beast. Say, I can't buy, I can't sell. By the time I have my yam and everything, I will eat. Praise God. It is not those of them in Europe that they need credit card and all those things to survive. Now they are telling them now we don't have vaccination passport now, something now. You can't buy, you can't do anything. They are canceling them. I say, the beginning has started. They have started. But I thank God. I don't have a Nigeria. I have no fear. Hallelujah. We'll be doing it like this. Hallelujah. Until Jesus comes back. It's good. Amen. So don't desire to be like America, please. Just leave us as we are. Amen. You know, there are times ATM cannot work because there's no light. So the enemy cannot ask me to take any number because there will be no light to power the equipment. Praise God. Then even the generator, that the price of fuel is going up. So you have to buy the fuel yourself to. Of course, when I go to the market, I will check there, I will buy. Praise God. How many market women do you think will collect ATM card? Only buy a yam. They are collecting it. They are doing, hey, you see now? Even professors are not collecting it. Praise God. So sometimes I just look at them and thank God for them. But sometimes I don't thank God for them. So you understand? Praise the Lord. God said, I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear is important. You know, we said it, that the seven spirits of God, right? And all those spirits operate in two. They are twin. You have the spirit of wisdom and counsel. Wisdom and understanding. Counsel and might. Fear of the Lord. Okay, fear of the Lord. Praise God. Then the one that stands alone is the spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. The spirit of fear is important. You need that spirit too. If you don't have that spirit, you can't tie those others together. It's important. Fire ties everything together. Hallelujah. And so, you are not supposed to be a fearless person. You are supposed to be fearful. But Jesus Christ said, this is the person I want you to be afraid of. Hallelujah. And he said, this is the person. He said, fear him, which after he had killed both, he has killed, had power to cast into hell. He can kill, and he has the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. If Jesus says yea, and he says yea, I say unto you, fear him. The greatest problem with man is that they don't fear God. Even Abraham said it. Abraham went to when he was going to the land of where was that? That place where they took his wife, Abimelech. I think the land of the Philistines. Is this Philistines? Amalek. He was there. Said, I noticed that these people don't fear God. There are people like that they don't fear God. They are getting to that place where people are not afraid. Where you find that people, they look at the things of God and they don't have respect to the things of God. It's a lack of fear. And that's why you find the Bible calls
That's why people do whatever they want to do. Because they don't understand that there are eternal consequences to their actions. Every action has eternal consequences. Every one of us will stand and stand like this before God and give account. A man, was it a man or a woman, had an out-of-body experience. And he said when, in fact, it was somebody very close to me said it. The mom died. Mom died in this Ondo here. And she said she walked out of her body and she was on a very long tunnel like that. Was going like that. And she got to a place and said, God, all the people I've labored over, my husband, my children, none of them is here to help me. And the voice told her that you are on your own. But here it is you and God. You give account. They will stand and give account for themselves. Fortunately for her, he said, go back and go and tell them that every man will give account of his or her life. It's not all of us. They're not gathering us together. No, they're not gathering us together. Every man will stand and give account. If you don't fear God, it will be a regret that day when you stand and you start doing kalulu. You know, you have a kalulu, I don't know, it is my friend, I don't know. Your friend say me. In fact, your friend is not even, but it's devil. Many people will blame devil. He says, it's devil. Devil say, me. He will slap you. Where did you see me? I could buy me. I have my own problem. I want to attend to. Every man and woman will attend to his or her own problem. Jesus Christ said, I say to you, fear him. So the people who are not going to make it are not the people who fear God. They are the people who don't fear God, but they fear men. They fear what man can do. They fear if men can drive them out. Do you know how many of us refuse to give our life to Jesus? Because we're afraid that they will make fun of us. That if I give my life to Jesus, Tunde will make fun of me. Why? Because I have made fun of many people in the past. To now be my own turn. I said, rather than that, I will not give my life to Jesus. When you cross over, you will find out that you have been a fool. Be afraid of him. Who cannot just, not only will have, can kill you, but he has the power to cast into hell. You will not be cast into hell in Jesus' name. Do you know that the Bible says, okay, one of the signs of the last days, Luke 21:11. Let me bring everything to a close. I'm just exhorting us this morning. It's not really a teaching. I'm just exhorting us. The Bible, one of the signs of the end times is that you're going to see a lot of things happening that will make the heart of men afraid. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall be there from heaven. Verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. 13. And shall turn to you for a testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus will say one of the things that are going to happen in this end time is that there are going to be things that will be fearful. You're going to see fearful signs. We've not started seeing them. It has not started happening. All of you say, man is marrying man. The end of the world has come. It has not come. It's not even called the beginning of sorrows. We have not even entered it. Praise God. Things will happen that will baffle science. Because it doesn't line up. It shouldn't line up. Somebody, I was watching a video this morning of a person gave a word. Said the Lord told him that there's going to be a snowstorm in Alaska in May. And he said, and he saw in a vision, he saw a polar bear, the mother and the baby. And a camp in that Alaska area, the camp was scattered. Everything was scattered. I see something ran through the whole place. And the Lord told him that there's going to be a major storm and a minor storm. And so when he went to check in the natural, there should be no storm in May. But that's how you will know it's from heaven. Because it will break weather patterns.
to not follow the patterns. Are you with me? That the things are going to happen. Something one happened recently in Texas. When snow was, Texas is like Nigeria, it's very hot. It's like saying you see snow in Akure. How? That should be, you should be afraid. When that begins to happen, then you know we are all in trouble. Praise God. I was talking to my brother one day, and he said, we can't have famine in Nigeria. I said, why? He said, because we're in the equator. There will always be rain. I said, So he who made the heavens and the earth cannot shut it up. Have you seen a situation by oh God. Cloud will be going over your head like this. You go and be, last year, the cloud was leaving Lagos. It was going to drop rain inside the Kano, where they were having flood. Here, we didn't get anything. Olorun ni o. You see, you are playing with God. Ebi kan power. You don't know. He's God. He was the one that put us in the equator. He can change the whole. Is he not was asking Job that, you know how the light separated the east wind? I don't know what that, I don't know. How many of you are in meteorology here? You're going to read Bible to help you. So, there are things that are going to happen. It's like earthquakes. Have you ever seen an earthquake? Pastor, did you experience an earthquake in Japan? Yeah, very good. It was because of you. They just held it. But did you experience it? Every month. How did they do? Like how many times have you been inside? It's like normal. Because I've never had the experience. It became a normal thing for you. You didn't speak in tongues. I'm sorry for you. Thank God you made the chat. Go and react those who were there before you. Where they think they had to open, they had to become like rubber. You'll be surprised that this house you are standing on is not solid. It's built on water. It's nothing solid in this land. It's not solid. Don't deceive yourself. He was asking Job, do you know where I put the foundations of the earth? There are foundations that hold it. All it needs to do is just remove one foundation. We will continue coming. So nothing in this earth is certain. Don't put your hope here. Don't put it here. Have we not seen people who have money? Was it not recently, about 5-10 years ago, they discovered an underground garage where this man, Okotiebo, tear rubber cars of his day, the buried cars, they are money, millions of pounds of those days, he buried it there, they discovered it. He didn't carry it away. He didn't carry it away. He wasted, we lost it. And there some of you are saying, I shall be rich, I shall be like Dangote. May God help us in Jesus' name. Let us fear God. If I ask you, what is the opposite of love? You will say it. But the scriptures does not suggest that. I want us to read this place. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out what? Fear. Because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. There's a correlation between fear and love. The reason why a man walks in hate is because of fear. He's afraid of what he's looking at. And he's responding. Why do you think the whites are showing racism? Why do you think they put down the blacks? It's just fear. It's just fear. You don't want somebody to be better than you. You hate him because you're afraid he's going to be better than you. then you find a way of putting him down. You find a way of making his life miserable. It's fear. But the Bible says, there is no fear what? In love. You're not afraid. This guy's going to be better than me. That's why I tell people, when I have the chance, the spirit of John is a very peculiar spirit. They came to John and said, Jesus is making more disciples. The church that Jesus is building is bigger, is getting bigger than our own. And you are the one that ordained him. So you ordained this Jesus. And he's already taking our church members. Hallelujah. And John said, he must increase. And I must decrease. What? What kind of leader are you? I wish we could have that kind of attitude. That he has to increase. I must decrease. But all of us, I don't know, so it's good for all of us to remain relevant throughout our lifespan. Fine, if God grants us the grace, I trust God, I help, I pray, he will make me relevant till the day I take my last breath. Hallelujah. But suppose that does not happen. I now say, okay, the next person that is coming up is Deacon, what's your name again? I'm looking at you. That is the next big thing that's going to happen. And I said, look at him. I was wondering what ordained him. You know that kind of awala or day there. You know why that is? It's called fear. He wants to take over. Let the Lord deal with our hearts. Because the Bible says fear has torment. It has torment. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me take the last scripture, then I will go. Revelation 14:7. This is my last. Somebody is smiling. I said last scripture. The Lord will disappoint you this morning. And it shall be my last scripture. Hallelujah. There was an angel that flew in heaven and is still flying. Say with a loud voice, fear God. This is a summary of all that has been written from Genesis to Revelation. It's summarized in this, fear God. And do what? Give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come. Why are we having judgment? It's because men have not feared him. And men have not given the glory due to his name. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Fear him and give glory. As we go forward in life, please let us know that this is very, very important to God. Yes, you are not supposed to fear. Even God told us, Paul told us, told Timothy, say he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and what? A sound mind. But that is not applicable to you fearing God. You must know the fear of God. In fact, Job said, it is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise? Go and fear God. You want to be wise? Avoid the fear of men. Don't be afraid. And I like this Yoruba saying. It says, I'm paraphrasing. We should not be afraid of the person we are sent to. We should be afraid of the person who sent us. Most of us are afraid of the people we are sent to. We are afraid, what will they see? We are afraid, what will they do? We are afraid, are they going to accept us? We are afraid, are they going to be okay with us? We are afraid of so many funny things. Let that leave your heart. Don't be afraid of men. I didn't say don't respect men. They are not the same. The Bible says, honor all men. Give honor to whom honor is what? Is due. But not fear. Some of us in those days, we want to go and see our director or commissioner. And he'll be doing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. As you see me, I can walk inside that Surok and talk to the president. Sabide, thank you. No, it's not sad. You see, what made it possible is because I have interacted with the word of God enough to make me know that I should not be afraid of him. He's man. He's man. Just see him as man. Yes, you are my president, Mr. President. Good morning, sir. What we want to tell you is this, sir. May God help us in Jesus' name. May I have the point to talk to the president? I will carry camera along so that you can know that I did not betray you. Hallelujah. But it's not easy to go and tell the president, you and your father's house. You are the one troubling Israel. You are the one troubling Nigeria. That was a bug. It's a dream bug game, I tell you. I don't have that grace here too. They say, you are your father's house. Your father. Your father. You know what I say, your father. That one, if you don't have the Elijah anointing, don't do it. They will bury you. They just bury you. Finish. Praise God. But being able to talk, you should know that. Some of you will be asked to come and give defense. Come and do your oral defense. And you'll be sweating like a goat. Fearful. Instead of saying A, you say B. You say, calm down. Calm down. Say, I'm not coming down, sir. You just muddle up the whole presentation. Don't be afraid of people's faces. Be afraid of him. That not only can he kill, he can cast into hell. But be afraid of him. Can we pray and ask the Lord? Lord, bless me with the fear of God. I want the spirit of the fear. I want to be afraid of you. Not the sense of you, not being bold to come into his presence and to talk, to talk to him like a child, as a son, as a daughter, but the fear that will help you to honor and to worship acceptably. And that the Lord will take out of your heart the fear of man. You'll take out of your heart the fear of things around you. That the Lord will remove all those fears. Some of us, we are afraid of driving. We are afraid of traveling. We are afraid of so many things. Can you take those fears and break that power over your mind and ask the Lord, Lord, deliver me. The Bible says, I have not given the spirit of fear but of power. I make that declaration today that I will no longer be afraid. Like the psalmist said, he said, when all these things rise, he said, I will not be afraid. That heart, that kind of heart that is not afraid. You are not afraid of sudden fear. Job said that which I feared most came on me. That the enemy will not come against you. One of the things that made Jesus powerful was that he was not afraid of death. He said, the enemy cometh and he findeth nothing in me. He came out and checked, he was not afraid to die. Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power to release you? He said, you have no such powers. He was not afraid. He didn't beg. You should be that kind of man. Should be that kind of woman. Those things don't. When they say, oh, there's a demon in one place, that you will not be afraid of the demon. Say, you will not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day. Or the pestilence that walk by night. All those things that make men afraid. You will not be acting based on fear. Father, Lord, I thank you for your church. I pray, Father, for everyone, including myself, that you will help us and strengthen us and grant us that, Lord, even the fear of God will be the source of and the foundation of our wisdom, that we'll act out of fear for you and we will stop fearing men and stop being afraid of things around us and what is coming to the earth. That those things that are fearful in the sight of men will not move us anymore. Lord, help us to take advantage of the opportunities that come our way to train ourselves not to be afraid. Not to be afraid, but to hold in great respect and in awe, that we may stand in awe of you. Father, help us. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Can we appreciate Pastor this morning?
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.